Thanks for tuning in to the Drive On podcast, where we're focused on giving hope and strength to the entire military community. Whether you're a veteran, active duty, guard, reserve, or a family member, this podcast will share inspirational stories and resources that are useful to you. I'm your host, Scott DeLucio, and now let's get on with the show. Hey everybody, welcome back to Drive On. I'm your host, Scott DeLucio, and today my guest is Catherine Giovanni. Catherine has not only overcome significant challenges in her life, but has also dedicated herself to helping others unlock the transformative power of forgiveness. Her journey has been marked by adversity, including her own battle with breast cancer and a tumultuous childhood, as well as her husband's status as a disabled veteran. Despite these obstacles, Catherine has discovered the impact of forgiveness on her mental and physical well-being, and she's passionate about sharing her insights with others through her latest book, The Ultimate Path to Forgiveness, Unlocking Your Power. So in our conversation today, she's going to enlighten us on the importance of forgiveness, how to navigate the journey of forgiveness, and why it's essential for living a fulfilling life. But before we get into that, I want to welcome you to the show, Catherine. I'm really glad to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you bet. Well, let's jump right into it. Tell us a little bit about your personal journey and how forgiveness played a role in your life, particularly in overcoming some of the challenges that you faced, in your younger years.
My forgiveness journey probably started in the eighth grade. It was 1974. And I was in the eighth grade. My parents were getting an ugly divorce. They were both raging alcoholics. And I was getting really bullied at school. And I tried to commit suicide. So I spent my teenage years and early 20s as your typical angry teenager, draped in black, been mad at the world, one friend. You know, it was that kind of a gig. We all know kids like that. Yeah, that was me. And I kind of blazed my way into my 20s. And my mother got sober 3 years before she died. Because even my mother couldn't get a gin and tonic in a hospital because she broke her hip. Although she tried, but she couldn't. And we shipped her to rehab and she got sober for the first time in her life. And we connected. We spent 3 really good years together. We were as close as sisters. And then she died. But I did have the 3 years. And when she died, I thought, I can't continue like this. I have maybe one or two friends. I'm in a job that I don't like. I don't like myself. I mean, I had to do something. So I kind of thought maybe I'll start forgiving people because I kind of read an article. We didn't have computers back then. It was actually an article in a newspaper. That's how old I am. And I started to forgive people. And everybody tells you have to forgive. Nobody teaches you how. So what do? I said, I forgive you. And I kind of started me on the path. It wasn't until about 15, 20 years later that I actually started to really connect the dots. And I got sick and tired of being sick and tired and getting all the germs and all the flus and all the colds. And my money was always a problem. Weight was always a problem. And all of these things. And I started my career as a concierge trainer. But after a while, I really started to figure out forgiveness, which is why I really wrote the book. That's how it started.
So you mentioned your forgiveness journey sort of started off in the eighth grade with, kind of what was going on. But you didn't really figure out how to forgive until much, much later on.
My 30s.
In your 30s. Okay. So yeah, definitely later on, right? So what was that journey like where you initially, and by the way, I remember those days too, before the internet and newspaper articles and things like that as well. So you read this article in the newspaper, tells you you're supposed to forgive people. And okay, that sounds like pretty good advice. But
that's what I thought at the time.
And when you look at a newspaper article, typically they're limited as far as like the number of words that they have. So how much are they really going into as far as explaining, elaborating on how you are supposed to go and forgive somebody? And I suppose that is kind of a loaded question too, because it's going to maybe be different in each circumstance and each person's going to be a little bit different as well. But how did you approach it at first? What was your first step? Was it picking up the phone and just making phone calls or meeting people for coffee or lunch or something and just having a conversation? Or was it just simply saying, I forgive you to certain people?
How it kind of played out is I quit drinking in 1990. And when you go through AA, they tell you, you need to do a fourth step and you need to reach out to people and make amends. Well, so the people I needed to forgive, I didn't want to reach out to. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. So in the book, the only way I can explain it is in the book, I'm going to make you list every place, person, and thing. I did say things. I'm going to have you make a list of everything you need to forgive. And then I want you to rate it on a 10 scale, with 1 being the least and 10 being the most, because that's how it started for me. I just wrote a list of people and I thought, okay, I'm going to start with the easy ones, the number ones. I'm going to work my way up to the number 10s. When people see my book, they automatically look at me and say, oh, I want to do that. Everybody says that. They look at the word forgiveness, say, no, I can't do it. You've got listeners who are saying it in their heads right now. That's because you're thinking of your number 10. You're thinking of your unforgivable person. You're thinking about the most horrific thing that ever happened to your life, and your brain automatically goes to that person. I'm going to be the one to tell you, you don't have to forgive the unforgivable. You don't. There's so many other things you can forgive. How about the people you labeled as a number one? How about the person who cheated off your paper in grammar school? How about the kid who tripped you down the hall in high school? You can forgive these people. How about the person in aisle 4 who you got grocery cart road rage in the grocery store? You can forgive that person. So many other things you could forgive. So I sat down and I really thought about it. And I thought, I don't want to reach out to anybody. And a few people, it wasn't even appropriate, was raped in college. And I thought, no, there's just certain things you're not going to reach out. So I started with the easy ones. And as I started with the easy ones, and in my method, you don't have to call anybody. You don't have to tell anybody. It's personal. And forgiveness is selfish. You do it for you because you want to get the person you're thinking about out of your head. That's what you want. It doesn't mean the person's right, because they weren't. It doesn't mean that they're going to call you, because they won't. And you do it for you because you want to stop thinking about them. So you start with the easy ones. I always tell people to just sit somewhere alone. Turn your tick off. Yeah, there is an off button. Turn it off. Put it in airplane mode. Get the dogs, the kids, the spouses, get everybody up and just say, it's a very simple mantra and you forgive them. So I have people who say, okay, I did forgive them. Yeah, you did. Sure you did. But why didn't they stay forgiven? So here's the secret sauce to the entire book that everybody is kind of forgetting. You didn't forgive the energy. Okay. Einstein proved energy is neither created nor destroyed. It just transforms into a different form. So when you get mad, everybody assumes it comes out of your mouth and it goes all the way up into the world and it dissipates. It does not. It sticks in your energy field. And the more angry you are, the thicker it gets. And from, let's say this glass that I'm holding is anger. So the longer I hold it, the harder it's going to get to hold. And if I still don't forgive, now look at my body language. I'm missing opportunities. And for those listening, I'm actually holding a glass in front of my face. I'm missing opportunities. I can't see anything. So forgiveness allows you to put the anger down and dissipate all the anger.
So that's something that I hadn't thought of before. And kind of prompted the question with, how do we do this? We meet for coffee, do we, that type of thing. But you're saying that this is something that you could do in the privacy of your own home by yourself, I'm sure there are ways that you can have that one-on-one conversation as well with people if you choose to, right? But it's not necessary either. And it could be a situation where, like you said, in a case of maybe, some sort of domestic violence or a rape or something along those lines, where maybe you don't want to be with that person or even let them know how they can find you or get in touch with you or anything like that. So reaching out and calling them or meeting them in person, that may have safety implications. You just don't want to do that. So regardless of what other people are saying, like as far as, you need to go forgive certain people, well, there are some circumstances where it just may not be appropriate or safe or, whatever the case may be. So yeah, this is a good way to look at it, in that there are ways to forgive people without physically saying it to them or being in the same room or even on the phone or even writing them an email. You don't even have to do that if you don't want to, right?
You don't have to do any of it. You can sit in the middle of your bed, your favorite chair, under your favorite tree, and you say, "I forgive you."
Yeah.
And then in the book, there's a three-step mantra I'm going to have people say. You don't have to light incense. You don't have to dance on one leg. You don't have to get any crystals. There's nothing to sing. No disrespect to anybody out there. But my method, it's literally put your hand in your heart because I want to remind you to say it from your heart. And you say, "I forgive you." And the words are really just for the humans in the room. It's really the energy and the emotion behind those words that really means it. And just because I'm forgiving you doesn't mean I want a relationship with you. I probably don't. So you do it all alone. I imagine the person's in front of you. And if you can't imagine the person in front of you for any reason, you can put a chair in front of you and put a picture of them on if you want. You could just look at the chair and just say that that's the person. But if you can imagine them in your mind's eye, that's really how I do it. And you forgive them. Now, some people say, "Okay, it didn't work." Yeah, it worked. Forgiveness is like an onion. And you might have peeled back the first couple layers. But the next time you go on Facebook or you see their name, if it still zings your head, then you have to do it again. And you keep doing it until you can look at their name and it's neutral. I don't care if you're alive or dead. No disrespect. I don't mean anybody to be dead, but I'm looking at them and it does nothing for me. I see their name and there's nothing there. I don't remember the bad stuff. I don't remember anything. That's when you know it worked.
Okay. So it's not a one and done process with this.
It is for your number ones and twos. It probably is.
Sure.
And I want you to start with, there's a method in there called the forgiveness matrix of the book. And I want you to go through the matrix. I want you to start with the ones and work your all the way up to the tens. Now, you can forgive places and things. I forgave 1974. Why did I forgive 1974? Because that's the year I tried to commit suicide and I was being bullied. So it made sense for me to forgive 1974. I forgave my childhood school. I forgave my childhood home. I forgave a room. I forgave the street that it was on. You can all these things have energy around them and all these things have memories. So you can forgive these things. A friend of mine forgave a little red wagon because she wrote it on her list. It just came out. She wrote the little red wagon. Had no idea why she wrote a little red wagon, but some part of her was probably mad at the damn thing, so she forgave the little red wagon, labeled it a warrant of force. But you can forgive people, places, and things. And if you're thinking of your number 10, you don't have to forgive your number 10, but you can forgive the energy around it. You can forgive the bed, the street, the house, the dresser. You can forgive yourself. Hello. This is the first book of three. So the next book is going to concentrate on the unforgivable and forgiving yourself. But there's other things you could forgive. And then if you think you can circle back sometime in the future and forgive that person, great. Some people can. And if you can't, forgive what you can and move on. Not everybody can. Some things are just so horrific that they are literally unforgivable and you don't have to forgive it.
Sure, sure.
Forgive the energy.
Yeah, right. And to your point of, starting off with forgiving the ones and then, you know, working your way up to the tens. I always try to equate, you know, whatever it is that we're talking about to something, you know, outside of the topic to help it make sense for my, not only myself, but also for some of the listeners who might be hearing this and not quite sure what do you mean by that. And the way I'm understanding it is, start with the easy things first. So you're not going
right.
to, you're not going to go to the gym and stack on a bunch of weights on a bar and, have 300 pounds on there and try to go throw that weight around if you've never stepped foot in the gym before, right? It's just not going to happen. So you're going to start off small. You're going to start off with the light weights and you're going to work your way up. And eventually you may get to a point where you can throw around a lot more weight. And maybe not, right? And I think that goes to
everybody's different.
Yeah. To your point too, you may not get to the point where you're at the point where you can actually forgive those tens. Right. And that's okay too. But the point is you get better the more repetitions you do, the more forgiveness you do with that person who cut you off in the aisle in the supermarket or
exactly.
while you're driving or the kid who called you names in second grade or things like that.
Perfect.
Those are easy and those will help you work up to the bigger, harder, a little more scary ones as you practice this and kind of flex that muscle, if you will, right?
That's right. Yeah. I mean, it's a journey. Forgiveness is a journey. And the more people you forgive, you're going to start to feel better. Coffee will taste better. You're going to, your sense of smell might come back. I'm not kidding. You might lose some weight. There's a reason to buy the book. You'll lose some weight. Watch the people flock to the bookstores now. Good weight loss. It will actually get you the money started again. You'll get financially, you might get back in the flow. Why, Catherine, will money start to flow to me? Because you're going to start to notice opportunities. You're so focused on your number 10 and your anger that you're missing opportunities. You're missing your soulmate. You're missing the new job that might be there or the promotion. Or you're missing maybe a bank account you forgot about. Not kidding. So you're going to start paying attention is my point.
Sure.
And you're going to start to feel better. You're going to become kind of a new person. Well, a lot of the times people don't want to forgive because they don't want to give up their story. Their story of survival is who they became. I lived with my story for 20 years. It was who I was. I was a survivor of an alcoholic family. I survived rape and suicide. Boy, that sounded awful if I just put all those together, didn't it? But I survived all this stuff and I saw I was a survivor and I'm a speaker. So I used to speak on it and I said, look at me, you can do this too, that kind of a thing. And then after a while, and losing my story was scary because then who would I be? It had become my identity. If I forgive all these people, who am I? Very scary for a lot of people. And the answer became for me personally is, I was so down in my luck in those days because I was just miserable and angry and alone. I thought, I can't continue like this. So whoever I'm going to be, got to be better than this. And I thought, maybe if I start forgiving people, I'll be my authentic self and be the person that I was always meant to be from the beginning. And that's how it really started. But losing your story is very, very scary for people because they get used to the attention. People feel sorry for them. They get used to it. No disrespect intended to anybody out there, but it's scary.
Sure. And obviously not meaning any disrespect to anybody, but
no.
But when you see this with the veterans who are leaving the military, who they had this label of service member, whether it's, soldier, airman, marine, sailor, they had this label of whatever it was that they were. And now all of a sudden they're transitioning out of the military and
that's right.
They have to shed that skin, if you will. And now they're something else, but what are they? And how does that fit into the next part of their life? And so, you're losing a piece of your identity that it kind of found some comfort in, maybe. It sounds a strange way to say that because you're finding comfort in, you know, maybe a terrible situation where you are a victim or you're a survivor, or you're, you know, whatever the label is that you want to put on whatever you were, whatever it is that you need to forgive. You were that thing, and now you're shedding yourself of that so that you can become who you are supposed to be. And when you go for oftentimes many years being something else, it's like, okay, well, what am I supposed to be? What am I even supposed to do with myself after this? If I'm just going to forgive this, then I don't get to, you know, have that label, on me anymore, because I've forgiven it and it's in the past and it doesn't affect me. It doesn't bother me anymore. Now what? Now who am I? And so how would you suggest folks navigate that that transition from that unforgiving state to post forgiving?
Well, the devil you know is better than the devil you don't. You know, if you're in the basement and you want to get upstairs to the balcony, well, you know the basement, you know the darkness, you know how to get around, you've learned how to see down there. And going up there where all that light is, that's kind of scary, isn't it? But once you start to forgive, you're going to start to pay attention. And you're going to, and I ask people all the time, I can't tell you how many people answer the question, what brings you joy? They can't answer me. Yeah. They have no idea. I can't tell you how many people just look at me like I'm growing another head out to my shoulders. So once you start forgiving people, the fog is going to start to lift and you're going to start to notice that. And you're going to say, well, hey, I like to read and write. Maybe I'll write my memoir. Maybe I'll write a book. Maybe I'll write about it. Forgiving the people in the military, especially forgiving what you've just done, forgiving yourself, forgiving the people you might have hurt, you know, the people, your bosses, whoever, that will really help lift the fog. Maybe you like to run. Maybe you want to give back. Maybe you want to go into the, you know, become a cop. Maybe there's so many other things that you can do and transition to. And once you start to forgive, your body, so to speak, is going to just automatically start paying attention to stuff that you really like. And you're going to start remembering when you were a kid, wow, I really like to draw. I really liked art, or I really like to read. Or I really like people, or I love working with computers. You're going to start to figure it out. The trick is to lose the anger and give yourself permission to fall. Face those feelings, forgive the low-hanging fruit, and then work your way up to the top, and then see who you are. Be excited, because this is going to be 2.0, and that person is going to slowly walk out of the basement where all the light is. You're going to feel better.
Yeah. And getting through that, like you were saying, it can feel kind of daunting. When you're going through that, it's not easy. But yeah. I think anything good in life, you're going to experience some level of difficulty to experience that good thing, whether it's, you know, business success or relationships or whatever. Yeah. You're gonna have to put work into whatever it is in order to see the benefit, on the other side of that effort. Even with this is something that certainly is going to take some effort, especially the more significant the level of forgiveness has to be, the more work it's going to probably take, right?
It might take some mental gymnastics to forgive certain people, so to speak. Yeah. And for the ladies in the room, if you are living with a number 10 person and they are abusive in any way, might I humbly suggest, with all of my heart and as much grace as I can, leave and work on forgiving that number 10 or aspects of it later.
Yeah.
And if you can't leave, here's a little side entertainment for you. Start the forgiveness journey. You're going to start to feel better. You're going to start to look better. You're going to start to smile more, and it's probably going to irritate the heck out of them, which will be a little entertaining for you. And the more you forgive, I'm not suggesting you be Susie Sunshine from Sunnybrook Farm, but I'm a customer service trainer. If you're starting to yell at me, I'm going to turn it on, man. And then the angrier you are, the nicer I'm going to be. And it's either going to work or it's going to irritate you, which is just entertaining for me. So there you go.
You know, one of the things to that point, one of the things when I was learning to drive back, you know, years ago, I was learning to drive. My dad was teaching me, you know, we were driving around town. He was giving me just his unique blend of lessons and his tips and tricks when we were driving. And he said, you know, if anyone ever starts yelling at you or screaming or you know, whatever, when they get mad at you when you're driving, just look at them and blow them a kiss. and just see what happens to them, right? And you know, that it's never happened. I've never actually done it, but you know, it's one of those things that still sticks with me. Like if I'm in this situation, I'm, you know, I have that presence of mind to do it, you could damn well bet that person is going to be turning it up to, you know, even higher. Sure. and I get to laugh all the way home, you know, because sure. You know, I'm just going to be, you know, giving that little silly response to, you know, their outrage, you know, crazy, you know, response or whatever. So.
But that's a perfect story for forgiveness, because it made you feel good. It made me laugh. It makes you feel good. So who are you going to be if you lose your story? Well, on the very base of it, you're going to laugh more. You're going to feel better. And you're going to love yourself more, and life is going to feel a little bit better to you. And then you can figure out where you want to go from there. Yeah. You're not going to feel so horrible anymore. You might make some friends.
Right. And to that point, I think that type of person is probably lower on the scale of the, you know, 1 to 10, you know, sure. as far as the forgiveness goes, because quite frankly, I'm going to drive away from that person. I don't really care who that person is or what they...
They're probably a 2 or 3, maybe.
Maybe, if that, you know, maybe 1 to 2, I was going to say. But, you know, depending on the situation, you know, are they, you know, running me off the road? Okay, well, then maybe they're moving up a little bit higher on the list. But, you know, regardless, I think they're still pretty low on the list. And so that's an easy one to be able to use. And that kind of helps getting that practice, you know, flex that muscle of forgiveness. But you did mention, you know, there are some people who are unforgivable, or circumstances or things that have happened that are unforgivable. And I know there's going to be some people, it's like, I can't do it. I can't forgive that person, or I can't forgive that place or whatever. Right. What is it that they're forgiving? Because you briefly mentioned this before, as far as the, you know, forgive the energy. What does that look like in one of those higher end unforgivable, let's just call it, you know, types of scenarios?
Science. Let's speak to the science of it. In the book, I have a science chapter because I wanted to back up with some scientific studies what I'm saying. Found a couple. That I can't pronounce this guy's name. I really can't. I'll do my best. But there was, let's just call him. He's a Japanese researcher. I just can't pronounce his name. And you can Google this. He studied water and the molecules of water. And I'm dumbing this down seriously. He took two containers of water. One container of water, he said nice things to it. He treated it well. He put nice light on it. And the other container of water, he said nasty things to it. Didn't give it a lot of light and did everything the opposite. And then he put it both under a microscope. The water that was told nasty, horrible things had these dark, ugly formations in it. You can see the pictures online. They're fascinating. And the water that was given love had these beautiful snowflake-looking crystal formations. The same study was done with plants. And it said this in the United Arab Emirates in the anti-bullying day done by IKEA, the furniture store. And the kids were told, say nice things to one set of plants and say nasty things to the other. The plants that had nasty things said to them were almost dead, and the other ones live. I have a plant here that's over 30 years old.
Sure.
So since our bodies are over 98% water, can you imagine what forgiveness is going to do inside your bodies?
Sure.
Everybody says anger is toxic. Okay, that's another thing that irritates me, because most people don't tell you why. Why is it toxic? How? I have questions. So really what happens is it's turning, and literally the anger is turning your water into those nasty formations, and it's literally making you sick, and it will kill you. Stress kills. So by doing the forgiveness, even the low-hanging fruit, even forgiving the ones, twos, and threes, that's going to start changing the molecules in your body, and you're going to start to feel better. You're going to start to look better. And this is solid, solid science. I really do have a plant that's 30 years old. We call him Grandpa. And why is he 30? Because I talk to him.
That's good.
I don't do it when anybody's around because they think you're an idiot. But I do tell him I love him every once in a while.
That's good. And I think just going back to that whole mindset of exercising that muscle and being able to do it over and over again, right? When you're lifting those weights in the gym, you're exercising a literal muscle, which is getting stronger and it's getting more resilient and it's able to, bounce back more easily after whatever kind of strain you might put on it. And the more you forgive, I can see that now, how the more you forgive, even in those little bits, those little seemingly insignificant things, you forgive, you are talking positively to yourself or to other people or things around you. I can see how that can make a difference, because it kind of helps, I would think, even rewire your brain in terms of how it is that you're thinking. So you're not jumping straight to, oh, I'm a victim in this case because X, Y, and Z happened. You're thinking more like, okay.
Gratitude comes in.
I can have a little bit of gratitude. I can forgive. I can move past this without letting this redefine who I am, right?
There'll be more joy in your heart. Now, let me give a word of warning to the people who are making their lists as we're talking. Make your list. You can have 200 people, places, and things on there. I don't care. But I only want you to, do it at night before you go to bed. And I only want you to do 10 to 12 at a time. Because once that, and even for the number ones and twos, because once that energy leaves, it has to leave your body somehow. So your body heals itself when it's sleeping. So it'll come out through there. You might get a headache. Not kidding. You might start sneezing. A lot of people start to cough because the energy is coming out. May I delicately say, you might be in the bathroom for a little bit. You don't have the stomach flu. It didn't eat something wonky. It's the energy coming out. Now, because I'm an overachiever, when I first came up with this, I sat there. I must have forgiven 50 people, places, things, buildings, cities. I mean, I did it all. And I spent the next 3 days in bed with what everybody thought was a stomach flu. It was not the stomach flu. I made myself sick because the anger had, and it had to come out, and it came out all at once, and it literally stopped me. So please, 10 to 12 people at a time, start with your ones, and you can have more than one. You can have 5 ones if you want. You can have, 6 sixes. Everything's good. Everything is fine. But do them, little to big.
Yeah. No, that makes sense, too, to take it in small chunks. The easiest way to eat an elephant is one bite at a time, right?
And don't be an overachiever like me.
Yeah, don't break off a whole leg and start chowing down on it.
I have a client who did the same thing. She listened to what I said, and she said, it's like the people who text and drive. No, that, not texting and driving, that's for other people. But I can do it. I can do it. She said she forgave like 50 people, places, and things. And I said, what happened? She got very quiet. She said, I was sick for 24 hours. I said, well, I tried not to say I told you so, because it's not a nice thing. So I just kind of smiled at her and tried to keep, I'm a little chatty, so I tried to turn my voice off, but.
Sure, sure.
Told you so.
Yeah, I mean, and that's, I guess, a fair warning for the listeners, too, is to, take it in small chunks and work your way to a level that you feel comfortable with, where, and kind of listen to yourself and listen to your body and your reactions to this forgiveness. And you may get to the higher levels, of that forgiveness, where you may not be able to do quite as many, right? But
well,
but
even, if the higher levels of forgiveness and you forgive somebody and you're literally choking, I mean, you're sometimes people, you know, say, okay, Catherine, I'm going to forgive my level 7, and you literally choke on it. Here's something, I know it's strange, but I want you to get up and I want you to make sure you're alone so people don't think you're nuts. And I want you to shake like a dog. I want you to literally shake your body all over, because there's studies that have proved that animals do not get PTSD. Why? Because they shake it off. Like Taylor Swift says in her song, Shake It Off. She's right. Because dogs, when dogs get up, what do? They shake. When they're in a bad situation, what do? They shake. So make sure you're alone so people don't point and laugh, but get up and shake. Then come back, and I want you to forgive the energy around whatever you're forgiving only, and then wait 24 or 48 hours, and then go back in and do it again.
Yeah, okay. I think we can probably handle that, right?
That's in the book if people need to remember.
Okay, yeah. And so, again, we want to make sure that we are doing it in small chunks, forgiving in small chunks, starting with the lower level people, places, things from the past that that we can be forgiving. Now, can you give examples of like, I think people is a pretty easy thing for most folks to understand as far as forgiveness goes. But when you talk about places and things that or even time periods, could you give a couple examples? I know you mentioned like you forgave an entire year because that was a significant year to you. But, you know, maybe some of the other, you know, maybe places or things these are the nouns that we're going for here. What are we looking at here for, you know, the other things that people might need to forgive, and why might those things be important to forgive?
Your childhood home. You had a dysfunctional childhood. Well, I had more than one childhood. Well, list them all. Maybe the dining room table where you ate as a family because you were always lectured at the table. Oh, that was mine. Okay, never mind. You know, but that's why I had to forgive the dining room table. You know, maybe it's your grammar school because that's where you were bullied. Maybe it's your last job, the actual building, because you have horrible memories there. Now, let me be clear. Just because somebody else has good memories doesn't invalidate yours. And if you're talking about, if you need to forgive somebody who's already died, that's fine. You're forgiving for you. So it makes absolutely, it doesn't matter where they are or aren't. It's immaterial. The fact is, you're still focused on them, whether they're alive or not. So you can put down, you can forgive dead people. Let's just be blunt. And you can forgive, let's say, you know, your bicycle as a kid because you fell and you broke your leg. Okay. I also forgave cancer. I forgave breast cancer. I forgave the doctors. I forgave the hospital. I forgave the surgeries. I forgave the bed where I forgave the chair that I had chemo in. I forgave the radiation thing. I forgave all of that. To use your gym example, which I think is actually quite brilliant, you're going to work up to more and more. And as you forgive people, you're going to come up with new lists. This is a marathon, not a sprint. This is not an exercise and it's one and done. Humans irritate other humans, and you've got memories you've forgotten. Sure. So as you forgive those first layers of the onion, just like in a gym, you're going to graduate to the next one. You're going to put more weights on the bar. You're going to start doing more. You're going to start going to the gym more. It's the same thing. And this is a marathon. It's going to take some time. But the reason you're going to do it is because you're going to feel better. At the end of the day, you're going to lose weight. You're going to feel better. You're going to like yourself again. And here's a kicker. People are going to want to be around you again.
Yeah. And that's maybe a good thing for folks who, like what you were saying, where you had, you know, the one friend and you just didn't. You weren't very social or outgoing.
No, I wasn't.
Just didn't have any of that. And maybe some people sitting there like, you know, what's wrong with me? You know, why doesn't anyone want to be, you know, friends with me or hang out with me or, you know, go to that, you know, event or whatever with me? Why doesn't anyone want to do that? Well, maybe because you're hanging on to too much.
That's right.
Too much.
And you might know somebody like that. You might, yeah. I have a client who said, well, I'm not the one who needs to forgive. Okay. But I have somebody in my life and I want them to forgive. Well, you could lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. Sure. So it's like rehab. You could get somebody to rehab, but you can't get them to work the program. They have to want to do it themselves. So what you can do if you're living or you've got a loved one who is angry or has got PTSD, start with gently leading them through gratitude. Ask them, what are you grateful for today? It could be that they had a hot cup of coffee. That's a place to start. It's like going into a restaurant and you only like one thing on the menu. Build on that one thing. Mm-hmm. So start with the gratitude. And then, you know, maybe leave my book on the coffee table. And then walk back and forth. But that's what she wanted to do. I said, go for it. She said, can I dog ear some chapters? I said, if you like, whatever you want. But at the end of the day, your loved one is going to have to do it themselves. They're going to have to want it. That the more forgiveness and the more change they see in you might just be what they need to make the change themselves. But start with gratitude, because that will flip their self-talk from negative to positive. And if you keep doing the gratitude, they'll start to think, well, maybe I do have something to be grateful for. I did have a hot cup of coffee, and I do have a family member who loves me, and he'll get the party started, so to speak.
Right. And again, just getting started is sometimes the hardest thing to do. And when you see how it's affecting other people, so like if it's affecting you in a positive way by having the forgiveness and gratitude and things along those lines, there may be other folks in your life who are struggling with forgiveness, who now see it is in a positive way affecting you. And it's like, hey, I want some of that in my life. So how do I do that? And, I know a lot of times we'll try to emulate some of the people in our lives, or even on, celebrities and television, stuff like that, where, there's certain aspects of their life. It's like, hey, I want that in my life. And so we'll try to, kind of emulate what it is that they're doing and try to replicate that in our own lives. But when you see somebody who is, they're happy, they're not holding on to grudges, they're not
right.
Having any of those kind of issues, well, then maybe that's something that people are going to start catching on to, and they'll start. I want some of that in my life too. And so maybe maybe that's how they're being so happy, or maybe they'll even ask you, and what's causing that. But even
that happens, they'll come up to you and say, what are you doing differently?
Yeah.
Got the new haircut? Did you lose some weight? There's a very famous quote in the business world that I apply to life in general by Jim Rohn. I think that's his name. You are the sum of the five people you spend the most time with. So sure. Who are you spending your time with? Yeah. He meant it in a business sense, but I flip it for forgiveness. Who are you spending time with?
Right.
And as you start to feel better, people will notice. And you can tell them forgiveness, or you can tell them, oh, well, it's magic. You can keep it to yourself if you want.
Sure.
It's all good.
Well, and another thing you mentioned too is that there might be somebody out there who feels like, well, I'm not going to forgive that person because that person needs to forgive. They need to do something else. And I'm maybe you could forgive them for not forgiving
exactly.
That other thing. You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean. And you can forgive that. The world is your oyster, my friend, and you can forgive anything. So you can forgive them for not forgiving, for doing whatever it is they did. You can absolutely write that down on your paper.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah, for sure. So there's, there could be potentially a long list of things, places, people that can,
memories.
Mm-hmm. Memories, you name it, things that can and should be forgiven. And again, to your point, not everything needs to be forgiven. There's some unforgivable things out there, but you can choose to let those things go and not let them control you, and not let them weigh you down and be the thing that defines who you are. Right. Again, I'm just going to go back to that.
I've, I forgive myself for not wanting to forgive my number 10.
There you go. Okay. Yeah. That's a great example, you know.
Yep.
I was going to go back to that gym example. You know, you might be the person who, you know, you start going to the gym day one and you're starting, you're being consistent. You go for a year, you go for 2 years consistently and you're seeing the benefits of it, right? You may never get to be that bodybuilder who's, you know, maxing out the weights on the things, and you may not ever get to be that point, but that's okay. Well, like you don't need to be. Not everybody needs to be a super bodybuilder with the muscles rippling and everything like that. I mean, maybe, yeah, that's the goal, then you're working towards it, but work towards maybe something a little bit smaller and eventually if you get there, then great. But you know, if you don't, who cares? You're still making progress and you're still a better version of yourself than you were a year ago or 2 years ago or however long ago. And that's, I think, the goal is just to become a better version of yourself, right?
Flop speed is still forward.
Yeah.
If you're, I mean, flops do move. They move slowly, but they are moving. Turtles move. I've always said turtle speed, but I saw a video on Instagram the other day, and this turtle was kicking. And I thought, I shouldn't say turtle speed. That turtle's moving fast.
Yeah, yeah.
But now I think I should say slop. But, it's forward motion is forward motion. I don't care how slow you're going. It doesn't matter to me.
Well, before we wrap up this episode, your book, again, The Ultimate Path to Forgiveness, Unlocking Your Power. Tell folks where they can, get a copy and maybe a quick line about the book, what they can expect, outside of what we've already talked about, but, something that they can expect from the book.
Okay. You can get it on Amazon. You can also get it at my website, KatherineGiovanni.com. Catherine is spelled a little bit strange. Thanks, Mom. KatherineGiovanni.com. And by next week, at least I hope by next week, the audio version of the book will be out. It'll be on Audible and iTunes and all those things. My younger son and I are producing it, so it's a little bit of a slog, but we're getting there.
Did you do the voice for the book?
Not as easy as you would think. I had to read through 14 six times. Hello. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I read my book for the audiobook version, and I realized just how difficult it is to read and get it, not without stumbling over your words or anything like that. People listening to this, you might think I sound like a complete idiot by saying that. It's especially a book that I wrote and I know what the words are. It's hard to do. It's not easy.
And he had me in my office because we're not in a professional sound booth. So I was here with my microphone and he had blankets around my desk. So he made me this little sound booth. It's not easy. You swallow, it's very hard. So,
Yeah.
And the book is only 111 pages. It's short because I do understand that people have the attention span of a sloth. So I understand that this is the first book of three. So the next book will be out later this year.
Excellent.
I hope.
Excellent. And so we'll put links to all of this in the show notes for the listeners so they can grab a copy of the book and they can, hopefully get the benefits of it. Again, it's a short book. You can read it, rather quickly, hopefully. And, if you're not a big reader by the time this, episode comes out, the audiobook will be out as well.
It will.
And so we'll have, you'll have that ability to just listen to the book and hopefully get the same type of benefits from the book, by listening to it as well. So, whichever version suits your reading preferences best, you can check it out there. So, before we wrap up, at this point in the show, I like to try to add a little bit of humor, to the show. Sometimes the topics that we talk about on the show, they can be a little heavy, a little dark. Sometimes, people need a little pick me up at the end just to kind of put a little smile on their face. And so sometimes I'll tell a joke. Sometimes they're pretty corny. And so I don't care if people are laughing at the joke or laughing at me. Either way, they have a smile on their face and that's all I care about. So before we wrap up, I'm just going to throw out this joke right here. So a police officer, he found a bag of drugs in a suspect's pockets. And the officer said, well, what do we have here? And the suspect said, well, it's not mine, officer. And the police officer, you know, yells at the suspect. And the suspect is like, no, I'm serious. I was cursed by a leprechaun. And you know what troublemakers that those leprechauns are. Now, every time I flush these drugs down the toilet, it magically reappears in my pocket. And the officer says, oh, I don't believe that for a second. And the suspect says, well, I'll prove it. And so the officer frowns, but follows the suspect to the bathroom. And the suspect takes the drugs, flushes it down the toilet. And the officer checks the guy's pockets again. And he says, so where's the drugs? And the suspect says, what drugs?
My older son is in a federal law enforcement. I will tell him that when he calls me.
Yeah, don't get duped by that one.
No, I will tell him when he calls me. He will enjoy that joke.
That's good. Excellent. Well, Catherine, it's been a pleasure speaking with you today. And I really do enjoy your perspective on forgiveness. And hopefully some of the listeners will take some lessons from this episode and ideally from your book, and apply it to their own lives and help get themselves back on the right path.
Thanks so much for having me. It was fun.
Thanks for listening to the Drive On podcast. If you want to support the show, please check out Scott's book, Surviving Son, on Amazon. All of the sales from that book go directly back into this podcast and work to help veterans in need. You can also follow the Drive On podcast on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, YouTube, and wherever you listen to podcasts.